Okay, so the story starts with the same pasuk that we learned last week. We learned at the end of the story of Cain and Hevel, right? So Cain kills Hevel, and God comes searching after Cain, and then he metes out Cain's punishment. He says, "Oh, you're going to be exiled," and Cain responds by saying, "Gadol avuni mineso." That in Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Gimel, Cain responds by saying, "Is my sin too great to bear?" Right. And on last Friday we discussed three approaches in the Rishonim. Right. There is Rashi's approach, the Ramban's approach, and Sforno's approach as to what Cain was saying by that. Was Cain accepting the din? Was he questioning the din? Was he nervous about the din? Right, so those approaches we discussed last week. However, this pasuk is also invoked by a Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia comments that embarrassing somebody on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, the bottom of not of Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara says, that embarrassing somebody in public is considered like the big three of Eros. What are the big three of Eros? Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim, Gilui Arayos. Right? Murder, Avodah Zarah, and immoral activities. So embarrassing somebody in public is like you have done all three of those. So the Gemara asks, how do you know that it... that is not in the Gemara. See, that's in the Gemara the Gemara in Erchin. The Gemara in Erchin comments about the prohibition of Lashon Hara. Excuse me. With the prohibition of Lashon Hara, that if one violates Lashon Hara, it's as if you have violated the big three of Eros. So the Gemara wants to know, where do you get that from? So the Gemara has a comment about Lashon Hara, that the word Gadol is used by Lashon Hara. And then the word Gadol is also used in this Pasuk. That in the Pasuk that Cain uses to describe his... punishment, he says, "My punishment for murder is gadol, is great." And the same word is used by Lashon Hara, the idea of gadol, the idea, and it's great, it's a big thing, and therefore we're going to make it comparable. Okay, the Torah Tamima on that pasuk are comments that doesn't mean that it actually is the same as murder. It's that Lashon Hara will lead to murder. Lashon Hara leads to all three of those prohibitions. One of those would be murder, right? And because Lashon Hara could lead to murder, we're therefore going to count it that way, and we're going to compare it, but it doesn't mean that it's actually a halachic comparison. Okay, so that might not be a halachic comparison, but we do see a halachic comparison that is taken much more seriously. And that is a Gemara towards the in the middle of Maseches Bava Metzia. So in the middle of Maseches Bava Metzia, it comments, and this is not on your pages, but Machana Sheimra L'Chaver Machana Hayu M'Lalvin, that you're widening his face. So Amar Rav Barachan Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and this is what is on your pages. Noach lo la'adam sheyavo al safek ishas ish v'al yab p'nei chaver barabim. That it's better for a person to have relations with a suffic ishas ish rather than embarrass a person in public. Yalbin is whiten, to whiten the face of their friend in public. So minali, that's a pretty strange comparison. Why would you say that? So midarash rava. From a drasha that Rava divs. What's his drasha? The darash Rava. Maidichsiv v'tzali samchu v'nesafu karu. Right, that's a pasuk in Tehillim, I assume. Yeah, pasuk Tehillim that I am, because I've gathered you, so therefore I'm now embarrassed. V'lodam. So Amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So David is talking in front of Hashem and saying, Rabbanu Shalom, Golevi adu lefanecha shimayu makar basari lo haya dami shoseis la'aretz. That it is clear to in front of you that if I would tear my basar, lo ya dami, my blood would not go into the land. V'lo od, ela filu b'shasha oskim b'negayim v'o'alos, omrimli, they say to me, David habal ishasish misaso bameh. Right? That even when I'm learning negayim and o'alos, they still say to me, oh, by the way, David, when a man has relations with a married woman, what is their chiyuv misa? What in the world is this talking about? So David HaMelech turns to Hashem and says, you know, it's unfortunate for me that that they won't let my one sin die down. David has one famous sin. What's his one famous sin? The sin with Bathsheba, right? That he had a sin, that he had an what seems like an affair with a woman whose husband was off to war, right? And then David manipulated it, said the husband would die, and therefore whatever. But he did that activity, which is quantified in the Navi as not being a good thing to have done. Right? That was a bad thing to have done. So David complains to Hashem and says, you know, everyone keeps making fun of me for this, that I'm giving a shir on Negayim and Oalos. Right? Negayim and Oalos are, Negayim is the issue of tzaras, I mean, what's skin ailments, and Oalos is about Tumah V'Tara in a place. And then the people, some guy in the back, some knack raises and says, by the way, Rabbi David, I have a question. By the way, what's the prohibition? What punishment does a person get if they have relations, if they have an affair? Right? And David's like, well... So David has a pretty nice retort. So Omrim li, so he says back to them, Vani Omer lehem, I say back to them, well, I say back to them, well, a man who has an affair with a woman, right, misasu b'chenek, he's going to be chayiv, the death penalty of chenek, that he will be choked. V'yesh lo chel ki olam haba. But once he suffers the death penalty, he gets a portion in the world to come. Meaning, once the penalty happens, he's good. Aval hamal ben es penecha veiru barabin. But if somebody embarrasses their friend in public, ein lo chelek olam haba. They don't get a chelek in olam haba. Right? So that's David's retort to these people. Okay? That's comment one in the Gemara. Then the Gemara continues on and says, so Mar Zutra bar Tuvia Amar Rav Amri la Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasidah v'Amri la Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Noach lo l'adam sheyapel asmel kivshana eish v'al yabu p'nei chaveh b'rabim. Not only that, it's better for a person to be thrown into a fiery furnace rather than to embarrass their friend in public. Where do you get that from? Minale. How do you know that? So Mitamar, from the story of Tamar. That she was found and she sent to her chameha, to her father-in-law. She sent to Yehuda. This is referring to the story of Yehuda and Tamar, right? Well, this would be a good Dvar Halacha Shir to give when we get up to that parak in about February, right? So maybe we'll do it then. Okay. So what happened there in the story with Yehuda and Tamar? So Tamar has this affair with Yehuda, she becomes pregnant, she's about to be stoned because she is a prostitute, she seems like she was, right? And being the father of this baby, we're going to stone you. She sends a message to Yehuda, right, privately, saying, you know, why don't you come and, you're the father of this baby, maybe you should come and declare yourself, and Yehuda declares himself, and everyone lives happily ever after. Right, but the Gemara says that's interesting. Why did Tamar just say Yehuda was the father? Right, so the Gemara comments: Ah, you see from here that it's better to throw oneself into the kivshan eish. It's better to throw oneself into the fiery furnace. Meaning Tamar was ready, was prepared to die rather than cause Yehuda the embarrassment of admitting to having relations with her. Okay, so that's the Gemara's comment. Now we tell you that comment. So what is that? What does that mean? What is our reaction? What is our reaction? Do you think it's a halacha? Is that a halacha? Right? Why is it not a halacha?
A person's life has value.
Okay, so does a person's self-esteem.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't seem like embarrassing somebody in public. It seems to be on the level of someone's life.
Okay. Okay, right. So you have a hashkafic argument with that. Anyway, think of a halachic argument against that. I mean, what issue would one raise with that halachically? I mean, it sounds like a person should be prepared to die rather than to embarrass someone in public. That's what the simple explanation of the Gemara means. So, is there anyone have an obvious question with that? We have a few mitzvahs in the Torah where one is commanded to die rather than violate. Right? What are those? The big three, which we mentioned before. Right, the big three, right, on that list is not Hamal ben Penei Chaver Barabin, right? That didn't make the list, right? So why did it not make the list, right? If it's so imperative, if it is, Gemara seems to say that it's an issue, why is it not, it shouldn't be the big three, it should be the big four, right? So, the Tosfos asks that question. This same Gemara doesn't just appear in Mesechta Matzi, it also appears in Mesechta Sota, which I guess some of you learned in the last few months, right? And Adaf Yud in Mesechta Sota, so it was several months ago. But the Daf Yomi will be arriving at it in about 3 weeks, right? And the Gemara there quotes, and the Tosfos asks that question. Tosfos says, well, why is it, if it's so bad to embarrass somebody in public, that you should be prepared to throw yourself in to die rather than to embarrass someone in public, why is it not on the list? And Tosfos answers, it's on the source sheet, but I just forgot to bring the Gemara Sota with me. Tosfos answers, because the big three are ones that are explicit in the Torah, and this one is not explicit in the Torah. No, it's okay. Right? The other three are explicit in the Torah, and this one is not explicit in the Torah. So what's the halachic implication of that, Tosfos? The halachic implication is that it's true. That you are supposed to die rather than embarrass somebody in public. Why is it not one of the big three? Well, there's a technical reason why it's not one of the big three, right? But it is, but the rule applies, it sounds like, right? One is supposed to die rather than violate this. That's what Tosos seems to say. Are there Rishonim that disagree with Tosos? There's one. The Eri explicitly disagrees with Tosos. Is there, by the way, if one wants to read this very much at length, a chaver of mine, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, published a book a while ago entitled The Right and the Good. It's in English. It is stacked, and I mean stacked with footnotes, with svarim that are, and with a bibliography in the back that is something like 50, 60 pages. Big Baki, a big massive Talmud Chacham. He's a Rebbe in YU. He's my brother and sister in law's rabbi. He's a chaver of mine, although a couple of years older. And he wrote an entire book about halacha and human relations. I mean, it's about halachos of ben adam l'chavero. And he writes an introduction. Generally, people just think that be nice to another. That's all the halacha that you need to have about ben adam l'chavero. And he wrote a book, chapter after chapter, saying that many of these things are, you know, there is real deep halacha to all of this. The first chapter is what we're learning right now, the emotional, entitled Emotional Homicide, Embarrassing Others. Right, but he has other things as well, right? What about derogatory nicknames and instigating disputes and lying for the sake of peace and the idea of forgiveness, all of those things. If anybody wants, this is an excellent book to have. So he points out that the Rambam, it's not on the source sheet. What does the Rambam say about all this? The Rambam is not on the source sheet. Why not? Because the Rambam doesn't say anything about it. Rambam does not include, he has his list of three, and he doesn't say, oh, by the way, there's this fourth one about not embarrassing somebody in public. So it would seem to imply that the Rambam is not on the team that one would have to die, die rather than embarrassing another person in public. So the Shulchan Aruch, so this is on the source sheet, and everybody is still following. So Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kuf Nun Zayin. Simon Kuf Nun Zayin is his halachos having to do with with the cardinal sins. What does he write here? It says all the averus in the Torah, except for avodas ilim, ki le'raisa shichus damim, except for the big three, im omrim lo la'adam shi'avar lehem al yarog, im hu betzina yavar v'al yarog. If a person says to them that you should violate them or be killed, if he's in private, he should violate them and not be killed. If he wants to be machmer on himself, he is permitted to. He is permitted, right? That's a general question, right? We have the big three. Are you permitted to die for any of the other mitzvos? Is it allowed? So you say no, right? That is an ongoing dispute. I mean, a person who, during the Holocaust, defied the Nazis, but there's a famous story about someone eating in the sukkah. So he defied the Nazis by eating in the sukkah, even though he knew if he'd be caught, he'd be killed, right? Is that allowed? Right? So that is a machlokas rishon. We gave a shir on this at Beth HaMedrash during the 3 weeks. Right? Actually, we gave a shiur about committing suicide, which is even a step beyond this. But is one permitted to die rather than violate another sin? So the Rambam seems to say, no, you're not allowed to do it. While Tosu seems to say, yes, that you are allowed to. Right? If someone puts a gun to your head and says, violate the Shabbos or else I will kill you, right? One has the right to say, all right, kill me, I'm not going to violate the Shabbos, and you are not violating the din. So Rabbi Feldman points out that might be reflective of our dispute. The Tosfos was saying that one should die rather than rather than embarrass somebody, as opposed to the Rambam, who doesn't seem to say that, might be reflective of the same dispute. That Tosfos generally has a larger perspective on what one would die for rather than violate, and Rambam has a much more minimalist approach, and perhaps what that is reflective in this in this dispute. The Shach on this section in Shulchan Aruch adds in it talks about the idea of suicide. Okay, we don't have to cover the shock. Okay, fine. So that is our especially not if we're all looking inside. All right, so that is the basic premise here. So how do we paskin? How do we paskin? You have machlokas Tosos against the Rambam. Tosos seems to take the line literally that one should die rather than embarrass somebody. And the Rambam seems to say that you should not. Right? So how does one decide that dispute? Right, so the Beis Yosef in his in Siman Kufman Zayin the same person as Rav Yosef Karo says that when you have a question about sakanas nefesh or bikuach nefesh or sakanas nefashos or dying for the sake of all of those things, so one has the right to paskin lekula, right? One can paskin leniently, so therefore a person has the right to follow Rambam rather than and not follow Tosos. That's what the Shach is picking up on. The Shach points out that, well, it's unclear what is lenient. What is the kula? Right? What is the kula when it comes to these types of halachos? Right? Is it lenient to say, well, you have the right to die rather than violate the prohibition? Or is the kula, you're not allowed to die, rather you should violate the prohibition? Right? That is a question. The Shach says you can't really apply those klolim, you can't really apply those rules to these issues. But bottom line is, I don't think too many people are saying, I'm going to refuse to embarrass somebody, I'm going to die, rather than refuse to embarrass somebody. The Sefer Minchas Asher, in his essay on the topic of Tamar, Yehuda and Tamar, seems to take that approach. He has the following shaila, right? The question is, if that's the case, how far do you take this? Meaning, we're going to, let's say the following. We're going to assume that rather than die, it's better to embarrass somebody else because we're lenient, right? We're going to paskin leniently, right? Good so far? Everybody understand that, right? Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has the following question before we get to the Minchas Asher. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in Chelek Aleph, Simen Zayin, of Minchas Asher, of his questions, has the following question. So I understand that we're going to follow the Rambam, we're going to go against Tosfos, and we're going to say that it's better to embarrass somebody rather than die. I understand that. Right? We're not sure what the din is. What about the following scenario? Should a person violate the Shabbos rather than embarrass oneself? I mean, if I have a Havamina, and perhaps even al pi klali hapsak, according to the rules we pass in shailas, we would generally say that we should pass in like Tosfos in that case, because Tosfos explicitly rules on the matter, right? One should die rather than embarrass somebody. And I understand we're not going to die rather than embarrass somebody because technically it doesn't, right? It's not a good idea, for whatever reason. It says, but if that's the case, if we're really going to equivocate embarrassing somebody with killing them, so perhaps I should say that I can violate the Shabbos rather than embarrass somebody, which is the same as killing them. That's the question that Rav Shlomo Zalman asks. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is kind of stuck. He doesn't really have a great answer. He admits he doesn't really have such a great answer. He says, for this reason, we would permit a couple of different things on Shabbos. He is not ready to permit Isuri Doraisa, biblical prohibitions, right? But he does say that that could form the basis for violating various prohibitions on Shabbos. So I took a look last night in the Sefer Nishmas Avram. Sefer Nishmas Avram is, we've learned from this before, Nishmas Avram written by Dr. Abraham, S. Abraham, who was a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I just opened up the index in the back, and to the words embarrassment, public embarrassment, and he has three sources over the course of this book about examples of public embarrassment, all within the realm of Hilchos Shabbos. So number one, right? One is the Shulchan Aruch says is talking about what you're allowed to carry and what you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So he adds in the following regarding going out into the public domain with a handkerchief. See the Mishnah Berurah and the Shmur Shavs Kehilchasa. If one has, that probably says that it's prohibited, meaning you're not allowed to carry a handkerchief on Shabbos, on Shabbos if there's no Eruv. He says, however, if, however, one has a very bad cold and would be ashamed to go out in public without a handkerchief, Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa writes, Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa is, everything was read over by Rishon Zalman Orbach, so it's essentially the sheet of Rishon Zalman Orbach, writes that it would be permissible if he carried it out in an indirect manner, such as carrying it under his hat or around his wrist or neck. When carried in such a way, there's a rabbinic prohibition and that falls away if he would otherwise suffer public embarrassment. Right, so are you allowed to carry a handkerchief out on Shabbos? Well, carrying a handkerchief without an Eruv on Shabbos may be a question of a biblical prohibition. So you can't do that. But if you can knock it down to a rabbinic prohibition, how do you do that? By carrying it in an unnormal way, in an abnormal way, wrap it around your wrist or put it under on top of your head, under your hat or something like that. So he's ready to permit it in order to avoid public embarrassment. That's example number one. Example number two. 322A. So this is about cutting on Shabbos. Oh, and he has a piece here about a bedpan. Let's say a person is a chola she'ein bo sakana. Right? A chola she'ein bo sakana means that his life is not in danger. If one's life is not in danger, one is not allowed to violate biblical prohibitions, but they are allowed to violate rabbinic prohibitions. So, however, only if one needs to. So, a patient who is not in serious condition may use an electric bell to call for assistance if he can't wait for a nurse to pass. And if the use of a bell will not cause a light to go on simultaneously in a nurse's station. Here, again, human dignity is a factor. Obviously, if there is a question of danger to his life, these conditions will not apply. Right? If he needs a bedpan urgently, and there is no one available to call a nurse, and a non-Jew who could ring one and a non-Jew who could ring for one is not present, meaning in theory he can have the non-Jew ring the bell, or he can have someone else ask for it, but no one else is around. The non-Jew may do so even if it causes the light to go on. Okay. He may ring the nurse himself, pressing the button with the back of his hand or finger, even if a light is lit up simultaneously. But I was thinking of something else here. Oh, here it is. I did the wrong paragraph. That he quoted from Rav Norworth, who is the author of the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. That this shows us that there is a problem of shame arise, not only rabbinic law set aside to avoid shame, but even a Torah law if the act is done in direct manner. Based on this, he rules that a patient receiving intravenous therapy via an electronically operated computerized pump that gives a continuous measured amount of medication per hour may not disconnect himself on Shabbos to use the bathroom. Instead, he must ask that a bottle or bedpan be brought to him. However, if there are other patients in the room and he will be ashamed as they're hearing him use a bedpan, meaning he'll be embarrassed to ask for a bed, hey, nurse, can you bring me a bedpan? Right? That's kind of embarrassing. He may ask a non-Jew to disconnect the pump so that he can use the bathroom. If a non-Jew is not available and he cannot wait, he may disconnect the pump by removing the plug in an indirect manner. On his return, he should reconnect the plug, if possible, in an indirect manner. The above rules apply if he was attached to a monitor. Meaning he's allowed to violate rabbinic prohibition rather than embarrass himself by asking for the bedpan. The one more example that he has here is 328.7b. Oh, having to do with a having to do with hemorrhoids, a similar type of thing, that he's allowed to violate the Dini Durabanan rather than to be embarrassed by it's a slightly different case. All right, we'll leave it with those two. So what is the Rosh Hashanah Zalman saying? If you ask me without any consideration, I might even think that you could violate biblical prohibitions in order to avoid the problem of human dignity on Shabbos. But he says but I'll defer and say I won't allow that. But in order to avoid concerns for human dignity, I will permit Isuri Durabanan to be violated over the course of Shabbos. One more shaila that the Minchas Asher raises here. So Minchas Asher has an essay on this. He doesn't think that it is to be taken literally, and he has the following shaila. What about the following? He says somebody. That a boss came to ask the following shaila. A boss says, I suspect one of my employees of stealing. So he says, I have two choices. I could either accuse him of stealing and check all of his stuff, and that would be kind of embarrassing to him, right? Either way, right? He's being accused of stealing. Or my other choice is I can fire him, right? If I fire him, right, so then he won't be embarrassed. It'll be for some other reason, right? He won't be, at least he won't be accused of a ganav. Which should I do? That's the shayla that the Minchas Asher has. So Minchas Asher says that apparently this guy asked another Rav, and the Rav told him, well, you should fire him in order to avoid embarrassing him in public, because embarrassing him in public would be, because searching his stuff would be embarrassing for him in public, as well as just firing him where nobody would realize. So he says, okay, well, you should fire him, right, rather than embarrass him in public, because he obviously would rather be fired rather than be embarrassed in public. That's his other Rav, because embarrassing public is compared to dying, and you'd rather be fired rather than die. Right, so the Minchas Asher says he thinks that that's not the case. I mean, it's only possible that this be taken so far, because what about the following? I think a person stole from me, and I want to get the money back. Right? Am I allowed to kill him to get my money back? No. Right? I'm not allowed to kill him to get my money back. Am I allowed to take him to a din Torah in order to get my money back? Am I allowed to take him to court to get my money back? Of course. Right? So Minchas Asher, why should that be allowed? Right? Bringing him to a din Torah is embarrassing to him, right? That's considered like killing him. So just as I'm not allowed to take a gun out and kill him in order to get my money back, I shouldn't be able to take him to court in order to get my money back. The Minchas Asher says, so it obviously is not to be taken. It obviously are limitations as to how far to take this. The things that are happening over the normal course of life are not going to be covered by this prohibition. So where does one draw the line? So the entire essay of the Minchas Asher, of course, is on the topic of Yehuda and Tamar, which is on Bereishis Perek Lamed Ches. So maybe when we get up to that parak, we'll develop more sharply what the distinctions should be. Yes.
Didn't Torah that same with that then?
Yes.